All right, well, some good news, people. I dare say a fair bit of it. The Blue Jays win tonight by a final score of 7-1. Chris Bassett looking absolutely marvelous. The offense scoring 6 runs or more for the 9th time in their last 10 games. A loss to the Nationals is the only time they haven't done it in their last 10 games now. And to top it off, no more late games for those of us on the East Coast. For the rest of the season, all of the games from here on out will be in God's intended time zone, EST. Welcome to Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network, streaming live on sportsnet.ca and on the Sportsnet app. Show Ali with you, flying solo, taking your calls and texts. Phone lines are open, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cellular device. 590-590 is where you can text me. That's the people's text line. It's always open. I love the West Coast. Don't misunderstand me. Vancouver is maybe the only place in the country I'd live in outside of Toronto. But for this Torontonian, I am very excited for some 7 p.m. Eastern or earlier baseball for the rest of the year. But thankfully, we say goodbye to late games with a 7-1 Blue Jays win over the Athletics. They take the series. They're looking for the sweep tomorrow, or I guess later today, here on the East Coast. And they are now, as of right this second, in a playoff spot. They currently occupy the third wildcard spot over the Rangers, who continue to just be in a free fall. But we will get to that and more of the scoreboard, out-of-town scoreboard standings watch on the other side of the break. Why don't we start today with Chris Bassett? Because how could you not? Very apropos that it was Bark at the Park night, I believe it was called, right? A lot of dogs in the park, which seems appropriate considering there was one on the mound for the Blue Jays, the Hound. Chris Bassett was just dealing. Like, my goodness, 8 innings, 7 hits allowed, 1 run, which was earned, Jordan Diaz, RBI, 7 Ks, no walks, 97 pitches thrown. And of course, he seemed to be dealing with something. We'll have to see what either Bassett says or Schneider says after this game, but seemed to be dealing with something on the finger, right? Like, seemed to be bringing his finger and thumb together very often. Like, we saw there were some shots of what looked like blood on the hands and kind of like where he had wiped it on his pants, but he seemed to be largely okay. Chris LaRue, former major league pitcher, did bring up a good point on the broadcast tonight in that it's likely not a blister, because if you get to the point where there's actual blood, it's very, very unlikely you can pitch. So maybe a cracked nail, perhaps. If that's the case, I wonder what are the chances they just put some like super glue on his nail, some epoxy. Whatever they did, it sure seemed to be working. It kind of looked like early on, the umpire stopped him for the substance check, and he, you know, they often do that. They don't do it every single inning, but they do it a lot of the time. But he showed them his fingertips to somewhat explain that it wasn't sticky stuff, and I guess was blood. But either way, he was touching his finger and or thumb on that right hand almost every time he released a pitch, but obviously still very effective. Chris talked about this as well. The curveball looking good, dropping in there like a hammer. I actually thought it got more effective as the night went on, because I thought early, and he got, I don't want to say bailed out, but he certainly got some help from the defense on a number of double plays, especially in the first and second inning, where it kind of looked like he was in the middle of trying to work through whatever was going on with those fingers, right? But the curveball, he actually dialed down the usage of it. Specifically, if you compare the last time he threw 8 innings, which was the last time out against the Nationals, he threw the curveball just over 22% of the time at the Rogers Center against the Nats. Tonight, he threw it just over 16% of the time. More or less, everything else was the same, though. He actually did throw the four-seamer a little bit more, it would seem, to make up for the lesser curveball. And he did get the, at least for Chris Bassett, because we know he's kind of like Hyunjin Ryu, in the sense that he doesn't throw very hard, even for his hardest pitches. But he did get the velo of the fastball higher than we usually see it, which was good to know. But more or less, everything else was the same, like the sinker, the cutter, the splitter, the change, the slider, all of which he threw in addition to the curveball and the four-seam fastball, all within like, you know, 1 or 2 percentage points versus the last time out. So he really only seemed to change the game plan in terms of curveball to four-seamer, and it was terrific. It was great. Only Zach Geloff and Seth Brown seemed to have any consistent success. Like, they combined, those two guys alone went 4 for 8 off of Bassett, and everyone else combined went 3 for 24, including Jordan Diaz, who had the A's only run. He was phenomenal tonight. I can't say it enough. And yes, I hear people who are like, well, they should have dominated the A's, and they did. And you know what? That's a valid. That's totally valid. But it is nice to see it come this way for Bassett. We can talk about the offense in a sec, but it's just Bassett. He's so fascinating to me because I remember someone had called in or texted in early in the year when Bassett was, I mean, we all remember he had a pretty terrible start to the season against, I guess it was the Cardinals. And he had a slightly better start the next time out. And then a slightly better start the next time out, all the way to the point where he got to the 9-inning complete game shutout against the Braves at the Rogers Center. And he's had a little bit of an up and down season, I think, on the whole, but generally speaking, Bassett, even if he is treated as the previous caller or texter had said, even if he is treated as a 3 or 4 starter, and he was kind of masquerading someone as a 2 starter earlier in the season, I mean, we're getting the best of Bassett, certainly. And I got to think that at least a little bit of it does play into the fact that he's going back to Oakland, a place he pitched at for 6 seasons, right? He pitched there from 2015 to 2021. He was not drafted by the A's, drafted by the White Sox, I think. But he did pitch for the A's for a very, very long time. And you got to think there's at least some factor of it has to do with, you know, want to beat your old team. You just want to do that. Let's go to the phones. Let's get you involved in this conversation. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. John staying up late with us. John's in Hamilton. John, what's on your mind? Welcome to JSTOC.
Yeah, I'll preface this by thank you guys for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'll keep it concise and really to the point. As a Jays supporter, and I am, how do you get behind the team when, if they get to the playoffs, they're not going to beat Baltimore. They're not going to beat Houston, Tampa. I mean, they could beat Minnesota, but they're probably going to be one and done. How do you get behind them? I mean, the team hasn't been constructed properly. I'm looking at the big picture.
Hey, John.
I think it's a fair question.
Yeah, I think it's a valid question. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Thank you for joining me on Jay's Talk. I think this is going to sound like a bit of a platitude because I've had this conversation with some of our colleagues. People around here are of different minds as to whether or not they will make the playoffs and who they will beat, if anyone, if and when they do make the playoffs. Everyone has different opinions on what's going to happen. Even if I just narrowed it down to my pals at the radio station, I think everyone kind of has different opinions on it. For me, at least, this is where I fall on things. You play 162 games because literally anything can happen in the playoffs. I know that sounds like a cop out, but you play 162 games because, like, for the chance to roll the dice in the playoffs. So to say they have no chance of beating Baltimore, Houston, or Tampa, I personally think is wrong. Only because they can. They very much can. The record is against them, pardon me, when it comes to their record against the Baltimore Orioles this season. What, 3-10 against the Orioles all year? Yeah, that's not good. Don't get me wrong. That's not good. But they can absolutely beat the Astros. The Astros, I know the Astros took it to the Rangers today, but the Astros have looked pretty awful for large chunks of the season. And the Blue Jays actually did win the season series against the Astros. They won 3 of 4 at the Rogers Center against these. Again, they were an injured Astros team. This is very true. Jose Altuve now returning. And I mean, Altuve hit 3 bombs tonight. So, I mean, obviously his return means something to the team, but they're not the unbeatable team that they looked like for much of last year. And for certainly the entire playoff run, when they were just dominating teams for much of the postseason. But and the Tampa Bay Rays. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm the first guy who will refer to the Rays as a somewhat of a zombie team because it doesn't really matter who is or is not on that team. It kind of does feel like they can do whatever they want. Like it certainly feels like to replace their shortstop, they can just go to like the Golden Corral across the street and get the guy behind the cash register to go over and play at the Trop, and he'll probably be pretty good, right? The Rays have that pixie dust. They just sprinkle on a bunch of guys, but I truly do believe that if the Blue Jays make the playoffs, because the cliche is like, oh, they're the team that no one wants to play. Like, that is such a cliche. But like with most cliches, there is a kernel of truth usually buried in most cliches. And I really do think, at least for baseball, and maybe a little bit the NFL too, because the playoffs are single elimination. But for baseball, there's so much variance in what happens in any single game where, like, you know, a single throw up the first base line can change things. I'm not saying you're banking on like a poor throw for the Jays to win or anything like that. But I think you understand my point is simply that you get to the playoffs, anything can happen. Anything can happen. Yeah, you could ask for them to play the Twins. They could lose to the Twins in two games. That's very possible. They could also get all the way to the ALCS. That is equally possible. I know it sounds like you're kind of selling dreams here a little bit, because based on the way the team has played for the vast majority of 2023, but I really do believe that in baseball, almost more than any other sport, because of the incredible variance from like pitchers on a night-to-night basis, from the batters on a night-to-night base, from the umpires in their strike zone on a night-to-night basis, anything can really happen, which is why, that's how I sell it, at least. That's why I think to myself, how do you get behind, how do you answer the question, how do you get behind a team that you feel might not beat anyone in the playoffs, but hey, I think it's really open once you get there. Let's continue taking your calls. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. George in Port Dover. George, welcome to JSTOC. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks so much for your call, for accepting my call, and I love to hear you. Listen, that man Chris Bassitt is just an Iron Man. He is showing what he's all about, and I am just totally impressed. And he's going to take us, if anybody can take us all the way into the at least a couple of rounds in the playoffs, he's the guy. And it's pretty impressive to watch somebody with such class, such style, and really a bit of a, you know, he's just an incredible ball player, and it's so wonderful to see him. And I know he also participates locally, so hats off.
Yeah, hey George, thanks for the call, man. The praise for Chris Bassitt cannot be undersold. That's for sure. Again, he was great. No walks, 7 strikeouts, 8 innings of work for the second straight time. If you missed Ben Wagner saying this, Sportsnet Stats dug this up just after the game ended. Chris Bassitt, the first Blue Jays pitcher to throw 8 or more innings in back-to-back starts since Aaron Sanchez did that in 2016. That's very impressive. Also kind of wild that that hasn't happened since 2016. I guess it just doesn't happen very often for pitchers, generally speaking. But hey, the Hound Dog was excellent tonight. Cannot be understated. And, you know, it's funny to think about Bassitt in maybe his place in a potential wild card 3-game series, because I think for much of the season, at least until a couple of weeks ago, maybe this would have been different, but I think for a lot of people, the order, if you're deploying your pitching rotation in a 3-game set, it would be, I think a lot of people would go Gausman, Berríos, Kikuchi, and there's been a little bit of regression, I would say, certainly for Gausman, a little bit of regression for Kikuchi. I don't think anything to be super concerned about, but I do kind of wonder. I mean, a lot of people say, hey, you go with the hot hand. If there is a teensy bit of regression for Kikuchi and Bassitt continues to pitch well, I don't think you're going to get 8 innings from him every single time out, as nice as that would be. But if Bassitt continues to play well and Kikuchi does, just take a little bit of a step back, maybe that conversation changes. Maybe it is Gausman, Berríos, Bassitt. Now, again, I've always said that one game should not be a referendum. Win or loss should not be a referendum. So I don't want to sound like I'm going to be too prisoner of the moment. Put Bassitt in the third spot in a wild card series. Maybe that does happen, though. Again, maybe he does continue to play very, very well. I guess his next start now lines up against the Texas Rangers at the Rogers Center next week. Because there's got tomorrow's game. There's a day off on Thursday. 3 games against the Royals, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then the Rangers are in Toronto beginning on Monday, September 11th, for 4 games. So Bassitt probably going to be the first first pitcher of that series for the Blue Jays, if the math works out correctly. I'll double check that on the break, because we're going to take a look at the standings watch presented by Bet365 on the other side of the break. Let's take a look at the text line. 590-590, name and location. I read this one earlier. I just want to reread it in case anyone missed it. Ethan from Thornton. He says, well, man, after that game, the Babe needs to be put in the starting lineup tomorrow. He was also very good tonight. He did strike out twice to start, but came through in a big spot. So, you know, you need your hottest hitters in the lineup. I support David Schneider being in the starting lineup as much as humanly possible. But Ethan also said, I'm watching the Jays in Oakland and a rat ran by my seat. So, well, at least they won, right, Ethan? That's the good. That's the only thing that matters. Steve in Vancouver says, hey, show, apparently it's Bark at the Park in Oakland. Fans taking their dogs to the ball game where the Jays have their dog, Chris Bassett, the Bassett Hound. See, we're on the same page, Steve. I like it. Let's see. There's no name on this one, but it does say, OMG, am I watching a CFL football game or the Blue Jays? Those horns are so annoying, but it worked. It's true. You did kind of hear like the, what do they call it? Like the vuvuzelas. I think that's what they're called. Those like really long horns. They don't have any like buttons on them or anything, but you just kind of blow into them. I feel like we hear/see them a lot. Like at the FIFA World Cup, oddly, but yeah, it was pretty funny. We did hear them a lot though. Perhaps a side effect of there being precious few fans. Actually, the only thing I could really hear in the background, at least on the radio side, because obviously I'm watching the TV, but I'm hearing slash listening to Ben and Chris on the radio side. Apart from the vuvuzelas, I feel like the only thing you could really hear tonight was people yelling, sell the team. Like even more than like, let's go A's, it was a lot of sell the team chants. But I mean, it is a shame what's going on there. Apparently the A's are going to play in the Vegas minor league ballpark next year, which holds about 10,000 people, but I mean, that seems to be about what they've been getting this season. Pretty crazy. Darren and Bolton on the text line, again, 590-590, name and location. He says, show, as long as we get to the postseason, we are dangerous. I just can't promise they get to that dance. That's Darren and Bolton. And again, it's a fair thing to worry about, because even with all the winning they've done in the oft-discussed stretch against bad teams, they're still only half a game above the Rangers. So that four game set still looms very large. Again, I guess now you are in theory hoping for the Astros to win and sweep the Rangers tomorrow, and for the Blue Jays to then sweep the A's and or complete the sweep, I should say, because then you'll be, I guess, a game or a game and a half up on the Rangers going into the series against the Royals. And you know what? I'll say this. The Royals have not been a bad team. I mean, okay, let me rephrase. They are a bad team. They are, absolutely. Don't get me wrong. But they have played much better as of late, making things at the very least competitive with a lot of their stars playing like their stars. So the Blue Jays, like, the point is they can't take anyone for granted. And I mean, look tonight. There's some text on the text line about things that went on tonight, like Craig from Toronto. They won a necessary game. They still looked weak. You know, I see Grecian from San Fran. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for texting in. Game good. Sometimes game bad, but tonight game good. Cheers. Yeah, cheers, man. That's fair. But it's true. Like, you can never take anyone for granted. The Oakland Athletics are a team that have taken series from the Rays, the Braves. I think they took series from some of the other contenders as well. All up and down the Dodgers, like all up and down Major League Baseball. So good that they did it, but they have to keep doing it certainly tomorrow with perhaps the A's best pitcher on the mound, JP Sears, who I think for large chunks of this season has actually been right up there with Gosman for lack of pitching well, but lack of run support. I think there was actually a point where Sears was number one in innings pitched with the lack of run support. Gosman was number two. I actually think Gosman has supplanted him. I don't know if that's actually changed after the last couple of starts for Gosman, but JP Sears is certainly a tougher out that I would think on paper than Luis Medina and Ken Waldichuk. So we'll have to see what the Blue Jays offense is looking like against him tomorrow. Before we take a quick break, I just wanted to quickly say, you guys know I'm a big fan of Bowden Francis. I see some text here about Bowden Francis. Love watching the guy pitch. But he looked good tonight, didn't he? Like, I do still think that the days of Francis being a starter are likely over, but he came in tonight and attacked these guys. He strikes at the side. He was not nibbling. He was not afraid. And he never has been. I don't want to make it sound like he has been before and has only now changed it, but he has looked great. I think Arden Zwelling, of course, of Sportsnet, tweeting out a little while ago that if there was a sixth starter for the Blue Jays, it would effectively be like a combo of Richards and or Bowden Francis. But hey, I think the way Francis has pitched, it does make you confident that if they had to weather that storm, you hope they don't have to, but if they had to weather the storm between now and the end of the regular season, then Bowden Francis can come in because he's been great. Maybe he goes down eventually, but he's been making such a great case to not be sent down that there are going to be some tough decisions. Certainly when Erik Swanson comes back, he's eligible to return first game of the series against the Rangers next Monday. But he's making it a tough decision, which is always a good thing because you want to have more tough decisions to be made about good players than not. But boy, Bowden Francis has looked great. All right, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we will go back to the phone lines, back to the text line as well. And we'll also take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard and the Major League standings watch. Presented by Bet365. More Jays talk to come. Show Alley with you on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Kind of what he does, you know, I think just being efficient with his pitches, pitch mix is a little bit different the last handful of outings, I think. And he's seen the results of that. But he's been this guy for a while, and he's had some huge games for us, another one tonight.
That is John Schneider discussing the outing of Chris Bassitt. 8 innings, 7 hits, 7 Ks, no walks. As the Blue Jays grab a 7-1 win over the Oakland Athletics. They have won the series. They aim for the sweep tomorrow. Hyunjin Ryu, JP Sears, the pitching matchup tomorrow. Before we go back to the text line and the phones as well, let's get to the Major League Standings Watch presented by Bet365. With Bet365, you can bet on things like player props, totals, or game outcomes across many different sports. 19+, play responsibly. Ontario only. I actually saw a text here from Kate in Vancouver, who says, hey, show, there's been so much doom and gloom recently that checking the standings after today's win totally baffled me. Are we seriously only half a game back of the Mariners? A win is a win is a win. Go Jays. It's very true. It's a very true sentiment, Kate. Pretty wild, honestly. Things going very well for the Blue Jays on the out-of-town scoreboard as we check in on the AL wildcard race. So the Tampa Bay Rays did win tonight. They got a walk-off home run in the 11th inning, the bottom of the 11th inning at the Trop from Brandon Lau. A 3-run jack. So they beat the Red Sox. I think 8-5 was the final score. The Rays win 84-55. Can you imagine that was the final score? They are 84-55 on the season. They are the number one wild card team right now. The Mariners have lost 3 straight. They got walked off by the Cincinnati Reds. Go Cincy, right? Christian Encarnacion Strand walking off the Mariners with an RBI single to score Ellie De La Cruz from second. We do not have to revisit the last Christian and Encarnacion Strand walk-off. Let's not do that. Let's say we did and not do it. But the Reds beat the Mariners 7-6. And the Blue Jays, who are just half a game back, as Kate says, of those Mariners, the Blue Jays are 77-62 with the win. And now they are a half game up on the Texas Rangers, who fall out of a playoff spot, which is just wild to say, given how unbeatable they looked for much of the year. The Rangers are 76-62. Again, a half game back. They got pummeled by the Houston Astros tonight. My goodness. They lost 14-1. And of course, speaking of those Astros, with the Mariners losing and the Rangers losing to the Astros are now the division leaders in the AL West. So of course, they're still going to be in the mix, but they are 79-61 compared to Seattle's 77-61. Texas is 76-62. So that's a quick check of the standings watch presented by Bet365. I see a text here that just says, Astros are next. LOL. That's pretty funny. I see another text here from Connor in Ottawa. Actually, a couple. Connor says, Bassitt definitely the player of the game there. Didn't feel like a 7-1 game for most of it, but love to see them turn it on when needed. Shoutouts to KK and Kirky. Both very impressive nights at the plate. Connor also says, one more sorry, have to say that game good, sometimes game bad, but game good is literally my new mantra. Thank you, buddy from San Fran. It was Grecian from San Fran. There you go, Grecian, getting your mantra out there. People believe in it. I do want to talk about Alejandro Kirk and Kevin Kiermaier, because in that 7th inning, the offense breaks out, right? They get runners on again after multiple double plays early in the game. Oh, that was frustrating. Don't get me wrong. That was incredibly frustrating. But finally, it comes through. I was genuinely worried we'd be like knee-deep in offensive discourse in this one. And frankly, there is still some room for it after Ken Waldichuk blanks you for 6 innings. I don't know what that's about. But they do get to the bullpen more or less immediately. Like they make those relievers work right away. They could not find the strike zone in that seventh inning. Kiermaier comes through with a big base hit. He sees one pitch, which is a curveball from Sam Long. The first pitch Long threw after relieving Zach Neale. Springer delivers with a single off a four seamer right back up the middle, out of the reach of everyone. The Jays eventually sent 12 men to the plate in the seventh. They get 6 runs out of it. Alejandro Kirk reached base 4 times today. 4. Like, he looks like a different guy from the Kirk we saw for most of the early part of 2023, doesn't he? Like, it remains to be seen if this will continue, but I've said it a million times. Like, you need more from your biggest bats when guys are injured. Kirk, Springer, Vladdy, and more or less all of them came through today. More Kirk and Springer, to be fair. Vladdy get a single and was intentionally walked, and that single was wild, by the way. Like, the process on that one, that he swung at 3 straight off-speed pitches and then got aboard on a single. It's probably an AB we'll forget about in a day or two, but still, like, wild process for Walichuk to throw him that pitch after he swung at 3 straight off-speed. And then also wild process for Vladdy for that to actually end up as a base hit. So that's perhaps neither here nor there. Not my favorite Vladdy AB of the season, but still, Kirk and Springer, if you can get more from Kirky like you did tonight, that's going to be huge, right? Like, early in the year, it just felt like one of my biggest bugaboos with him was that it felt like you weren't seeing a ton of power come from his legs. Right, like Barker has talked about that a lot. Like he's a shorter guy, so he gets a lot of the power from like the lower half of his body. And he tonight he just seemed to also just swing more decisively, which will be key. Like, he walked into second a few times, which is very nice to see. Like, use the power, Kirk. Right, you have a ton of it, and if that's the biggest late season development, it will be a very welcome sight. Kevin Kiermaier also going 3 of 4 with an RBI and a run scored as well. A very nice outing for Kiermaier, who definitely deserves a shout out. He spoke to Arden Zwelling after this ballgame.
3 hits tonight for Kevin Kiermaier, including a single in the seventh that sparks a 6-run rally. Tell me about that swing. Lefty gives you a big curveball. It's a little up, little in. What'd you like about that pitch?
Well, let's not forget about the 3 guys who drew walks, Kirky, Kevin, and Santi, to put me in that situation. And I went up there, and I was thinking about taking a pitch, but I had a feeling he was going to throw me a curveball, and I saw it up, and I liked what I saw and was able to, put a swing on where it just, dribbled in the left field. So we'll take it. And then, George, huge hit right after that, and then some more runs to follow. So we just try to create momentum whatever way possible. We, it took us longer than we wanted to tonight, but, had a huge inning and had some huge at-bats at the most critical time.
Yeah, you're right. It was a collective approach in that inning, and offense was kind of hard to come by up until that point. What do you think was really working for you guys during that rally?
Sometimes you need guys to get on base to elevate the guys, and then you don't have to, I didn't need to get a hit right there. I was just trying to lift the ball, maybe get a sack fly, and then, it's a snowball effect after that. And then one get bad after another, these things can be contagious on the good and the bad end. And tonight in the seventh inning, there was a lot of good, and that was the difference in the game.
So on the out-of-town scoreboard right behind us, it says the Texas lost tonight. That means that tomorrow you guys will wake up in postseason position. Obviously, lots of games to be played, but what does this team need to do to continue taking care of business?
Just keep playing our game. We've had a lot of different energy these last 4 or 5 games, and we sit here, we talk amongst each other, and this is what you play for every year, play for the playoffs, and it's so fun to be a part of, and we just want to make the best of it, get our foot in any way possible. And like you said, there's still a lot of baseball, so I know everyone wants to look at the standings and whatnot, but if we come in the field like we will and handle our business, we control our own destiny. We put ourselves in the best position possible, and we're going to keep trying to do that.
That is Kevin Kiermaier chatting with Arden Zwelling. And saying all the right things, endearing himself very quickly to Blue Jays fans in his very first year as a Blue Jay after playing for the Rays for so many years. But Kiermaier actually did say there about the Arden asked him about what was contagious in that inning, the big rally, and he talked about guys just need to get on base. And I think that's something we've talked about. Blair and Barker have talked about it. I've talked about it with Ben Shulman. But the simple idea that the guys need to show some patience, just so when pitchers are not able to locate the strike zone, don't bail them out with swings. Let them find the strike zone themselves. And neither Zach Neale or Sam Long could find the strike zone. And when they did, the Blue Jays pitchers were ready. We see them sit on a lot of off-speed stuff sometimes. And They did it again today, certainly to Ken Waldichuk, to not to great effect, especially when they were ended up hitting those double plays. But they did it very effectively against both the relievers that they saw in the seventh inning. I see a text here on the text line. Darren from Bolton as well says, do you think Schneider breathed a sigh of relief once Kirk made it around the bases? If he doesn't make it, he gets lambasted right now. I do want to talk about that pinch run thing, or not pinch running for Kirk in the game in the top of the seventh inning, perhaps aided a little bit by hindsight. But I think there are a few ways you can look at it. One, they, I think, would rather, at 0-0 at that point, they would rather gamble with the thought that Kirk might bat again instead of, and relying on his bat based on what we've seen from Kirk in the last, not just today, but in the last, like, what, five to seven games, let's say. They'd rather gamble with him coming back around instead of putting in Tyler Heineman, which is not a knock on Heineman, but, you know, you want, if you're talking about the most high leverage bats, for example, then I think you do want Heineman. And of course, he did come back around to bat that same inning, which I'm sure they didn't expect. But two, which I actually think is far more important, Kirk has been handling Bassett very well, especially with whatever finger issue was going on. So perhaps they didn't want to mess with that. And there is going to be a lot of asked of Kirk, not only offensively, but behind the plate with both with pitch calling, pitch framing, generally managing the pitcher, you know, in a general sense. So I'm all for leaving him in there because he's just going to have to do it a ton more. So I do think that is a big part of it. And of course he did, like we were saying before, he reached base four times, which is very impressive considering that, again, you're just going to need more. It's, we talked about cliches before. Cliches usually have a little bit of truth to them, which is why they're repeated so often. And sometimes the message gets warped, but I think a big part of the, you need more from your biggest bats, is true for this team, because as much as we want to talk about the contributions positively they're getting from the younger guys like Ernie Clement and Spencer Horwitz and Davis Schneider, and certainly some of the newcomers like Dalton Varsho and Kevin Kiermaier, you need the most from your biggest stars. And those guys right now, with Bo and Danny Jansen on the IL, it's Vladdy, it's Springer, and it's Kirk. And in this last stretch against weaker oppositions, hey, you know what? You've gotten that. You have gotten it. I see Jacob in Alberta texting in to say, Toronto's pitching staff much better shape and deeper than any of the AL playoff hopefuls. Baltimore just lost their closer. Seattle traded away theirs. The Rays have lost 3/5 of their rotation. I don't understand the defeatist attitude to say this team has no chance. I agree. Again, you play 162 games to roll the dice in the playoffs. And again, it's a bit of a crapshoot once you get into the playoffs, but it is always an adventure, for better or for worse. But hey, I think the Blue Jays, I do personally think, if they can keep this up, they have a chance to do something in the playoffs, but they do have to maintain this pace, keep their foot on the gas. Hey, thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Crown Rust Protection. New and used vehicle prices are rising and inventory is scarce. Avoid the hassle of buying prematurely by making your vehicle last longer with Crown Rust Protection. For a special offer on rust protection, visit crown.com today. For Ben Wagner, Chris LaRue, Tom Young, Nick Blackmore, I'm Sho Ali. Thanks for staying up late with me one last time. No more late games for the Jays this season. Blair and Barker are back to put a bow on the series tomorrow. I'm back with Ben on the weekend when the Royals are in town. Enjoy your night. I'll talk to you later.